And welcome, 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 dear listeners. I do hope you are on your way heading to the multitude of cultural events that are taking place all across the country, even here in the capital. It's astonishing. It's wonderful. It speaks to some form of social recovery from the pandemic. But that's not why we're here for tonight on the Business and Economic Zone. Ultimately, I'm going to have to be a little bit selfish, and I want you to be listening to us here on tonight's session. Now, there obviously was a gap between Wednesday night and tonight, with the Thursday being the exception in terms of, you know, there being a break in regular broadcasting, regular programming. But we are finishing off tonight with our education discussion on the BEZ here. We are finishing it off. We are ending tonight. On this particular notion, I actually am going to ask you to, if you have any suggestions, any discussion points, any contributions you want to factor in, kindly do forward them or place them on our Facebook page, which is the most interactive one out of our social media pages, and also our Twitter page. Kindly do throw it through there, because we hear the production, the broadcast team. I almost said the production team, but production team actually would include our production guys, the backrooms, the guys in the background, our technical staff. But for us, the presenters, for our programming, we actually do get your messages coming through to us from our social media manager, or the team in charge of our social media accounts. They do funnel through the suggestions, the discussion points, the contributions that you guys indicate there, with the various discussion points that we bring to you here on your number one talk radio station. Kindly do throw it through there or place it there, because for tonight, guys, I'm going to be a little bit more selfish, because we have to end up, and I actually want to get all the discussion, all the knowledge in there, out there to you, for you to just mull a little bit about, have a look at Namibia's, the current template of what Namibia looks like. And I'm not saying we should ignore things like policy that comes through from central government. No. You have to look at what is in practice, what is in reality playing out on the ground, Factor that in with the various media reports, what we bring to you here, what other media houses bring to you, and then you try to construct a somewhat complete picture, but not an entirely complete picture. You just have some of the puzzle pieces there that helps you to understand what's really going on. Now, Monday night, we had a discussion. Tuesday night, another one. And each one had a different phase of looking at education holistically in our country. Some of you came through here in terms of your contributions. But where we ended off last was, an economy's productivity rises as the number of educated workers increases, since skilled workers can perform tasks more efficiently. Keep that in mind. The last one where we're going to be ending off is, an economy is more valuable when equal education and labor opportunities are available across gender, race, age, and ethnicity. So that means everyone must have equal opportunity to various industries, as well as also the jobs that are contained in those industries. That means, if it's going to be the gender discussion, men versus female, we see some good work taking place in some forms of our administrative part of our Namibia's government, for example, in parliament or in other roles, you know, the split between men and women, because we have to factor in terms of one key comparative statistic. Women sometimes have or are responsible for a lot more dependence. Sometimes men not. Remember, I put in the word sometimes there. I am strategic with that choice of vocabulary, because I do not know what everyone's life looks like. I don't. But the template out there is, one or other notion, you will find a woman in being in charge, being the only breadwinner for 5 to 6 to 7 to 8 to 10 dependents, which is true. Sometimes a man is only a breadwinner either for himself and at most five people. At most five people. And that's still a safe estimation that I'm putting out there on the side of the man. For the woman, it can be expanded a lot more. So we've got to factor in those kinds of discussions in terms of where if you have more people educated, as well as also level of education being dispersed over both the two genders, men, women, and women will have equal opportunity to provide further value into the labor market, i.e. for employers going ahead, i.e. meaning that there could be potentially, since we as a country, we've now for the better part of this year, 2022, been trying to market what we as a Namibia, as a country, as Namibia can bring onto the globalization discussion. Remember, I mentioned to you that very nice thing of globalization and international trade is one of the main reasons as to why for this year, Namibia has seemed very busy. Remember, how education benefits a country is globalization and international trade requires countries and their economies to compete with one another. So it's not just about what we are selling or exporting, nor importing. It's also in terms of investment opportunities. Investment opportunities, guys, is a discussion about long-term.
Kukuruga na yowamba, kukuningsa ozere, nukusespika na mpito domgara mokagura mkisigemeke. Ramangako, uwera o HIV. Ayo, kukupoperan, tani kuiruga na maokoko. Tokoras gara, ninka wa kukuruga na yowamba. Mokutura mwe hundiro liye yowamba zuma okoko, ndimo gwana kuma pukuru gomanzi. Tumako WhatsApp kwa numero 0833-3858-2288. Ndidingura kwa Facebook kwa VMMC Namibia.
Now, coming back from that brief break, and just where I ended off was the benefit of a country, the benefit of education to a country in the global scheme of things with regards to globalization and international trade. You guys can go and if you guys think, you know, it's a bit far-fetched the way I'm trying to link in education to how Namibia is trying to perform internationally and market ourselves, advertise ourselves to invest international investors. Here's just a very quick exercise that you can go and do on your own. Go and look at every speech or every update on the presidency's Facebook page. Look at every speech where our president, our head of state, had to go and meet international players. Analyze every video in terms of like the COP26, the United Nations General Assembly of last year, the update from Davos last year. Look at everyone and just keenly listen to what our head of state and also his panel of ministers that accompanied him on each of those occasions, or representatives of government that accompanied him on each of those occasions. It's all about us getting into the global platform, being part of international trade, tapping into streams of investment and trade that potentially we did not tap into, that we were not privy to, or that we could not achieve because we needed to bring something to the table. Go look at everything. Now, also be weary and also be very aware. And I actually implore you. I implore you. Yes, guys. Implore is just a word of saying. It's just a fancy way of saying, I beg you. Now, I implore you to just keep your eye on anything media related, well, all media updates locally with regards to where Namibia is heading towards, with especially with the green hydrogen discussion. Secondly, the discussion that would have stemmed out of something like the mining expo, as well as also other trade movements for Namibia. Just have a look at that. Just keep your eyes keenly fixated. Do not for once think that everything is happening in silos or in isolation. It's all about, it's a connected dot of things, and they're all connected. They're all connected. Let me just end it. They're all connected. Now, education, guys, gets you there. Education levels in a country allows the country to get up there, to be able to compete in the globalization realm and also in the international trade league. I had to unfortunately make a reference there to a football league, but yeah. Now, a typical developed economy will include various industries with different competitive advantages and disadvantages in the global marketplace. Now, the nice thing is, guys, just in yesterday's session of the Business at 2, I had the pleasure, just before that, to meet the current principal of NIMT, a wonderful gentleman. Well, I only met him there for the first time, let me be honest. But he was forthcoming enough to, you know, to give me a short audio, you know, a sound bite with regards to the role of artisans and vocational training in an economy. And this is something I stressed to you guys on Tuesday, or was it Tuesday night or Wednesday night? I stressed this to you. There are only two countries known in this world that actually rebuilt themselves from massive disasters. And this was just war. War is a disaster, guys. War is a disaster. But from two massive disasters. Germany and South Korea. Grunewald mentioned it there. Germany. And they actively have an economic ecosystem that factors in vocational training or graduates from vocational institutions. Now you see, guys, what does Germany have that Namibia does not have? A massive industrial complex. And I do not mean industrial in the sense of mines, fishing, just like us. No. Factories.com on tap. Yes, I'm sorry for the embellishment, but factories on tap. So they have an industrial process that works from secondary into tertiary. Because secondary is where you are actually refining things from primary, say from the primary sector where they were extracted, i.e. them being either uranium or copper or zinc or tin or diamonds or gold or silver or platinum or wood or fish. That's primary. At secondary, they get refined, they get cleaned, they get polished, they get processed a little bit because they need to move from secondary to tertiary. At tertiary is where you find your canned fish, your jewelry being made by a jeweler, your gold being smelted by a goldsmith. The companies that make electronic products, because they need to make electronic or copper, they need copper wiring for their cabling for the various devices that they produce. I.e. Telefunken. What's the other German brand? The one that says Blue Point, but it's actually Blaupunkt. Blaupunkt. All those brands. Philips. You mention it. Then you get to the cars. Then you get to the car companies. And so it goes on, and so it goes on, and so it goes on. Wednesday night session, I ended off with the four schools that I know of that were actually constructed for technical vocations or for vocational training. And those are just three schools that I know of. I don't know about the other schools that were scattered across the country. And that's an unfortunate thing because all these schools are actually legacy apartheid schools. HTS, Higher Technical School here in Academia. Augustinium in Kommersdal. The one in Rehoboth, MNK Gerte or MNK Gerte. Right there. Three schools that I knew of that had vocational training as part of their secondary school training. You don't bounce it up to a VTC or vocational center somewhere. Those graduates need to feed a VTC. They need to feed a VTC. It's the same way if you had to look at the vicinity of schools and how schools were laid out in Windhoek especially. Now, why I mentioned Windhoek especially is because I will give you an example right now. For anyone living in the capital, if you've ever noticed why Jan Moers Secondary School, and Orban Primary School are right opposite each other, is that all the children traditionally that went to Orban had to go to Jan Moer. They were first option to Jan Moer. Jan Moer and Orban were supposed to, you know, facilitate and cater for schools in or for the neighborhoods in that part of Windhoek. The same also if you had to factor in the primary school that's in Hoogland Park. Emma, what's its name? Emma, no, Emma Wurgenhoop, I think, yeah. But now, you have a mixed match where parents can choose where to put their children in, where to put in primary school, where to put their children in high school. Now it causes a little bit of chaos because now you sometimes hear of, you know, parents want the child to be at school, primary school A or at high school A, but the child lives approximately 3 to 5 kilometers away. And traditionally, the schools were actually built to cater for specific neighborhoods. Now I know, guys, once again, I'm falling into that, I'm veering off or steering off into that direction. But just look at how the town planning was also based in Windhoek around these schools. Just look at it. You would see the beauty in terms of the thinking process. Although, even though you realize that the thinking process was, you know, it was encapsulated pre-1990, pre-independence. It's an unfortunate thing, but if we have to look at the road ahead for Namibia, shouldn't we be looking at templates of yesteryear? Shouldn't we? Should we not? Because we have to try and understand the needs, the demands, the flows, the trends, the influences, the happenings, the ebbs, the flows. We need to anticipate them. It won't help policies get made somewhere, be launched somewhere, and you know, in Afrikaans, we've got a word, it's known as fatigheid. You know, it has the ability to make an impact, to gel, to bond. You know, like cement does between two bricks when you build a house or you construct a wall or where you lay a foundation. That's the role of cement. Cement allows for that fatigheid. You know, it solidifies and it grasps and it grips and it grips within the foundation. You know, the foundation trench that you had to dig. Now, that's the same principle that we've got to try and look at, which we've got to try and adopt. Now, here's the worst. Here's another notion. If we are trying to get the globalization, international trade, the easiest road for us to get there as a country is what this green hydrogen project seems to be. And it seems to be the easiest way because people are turning heads and they're looking at Namibia. They're going like, okay, fine. We're looking good. We're looking prosperous. Not prosperous, you know, like, you know, prosperous. Everyone is driving a double cab. No. I'm talking in the sense of that things are looking promising. Interest is being shown to Namibia. Now, that's green hydrogen one side. Then then parallel to that, we've got oil. Now, understand this, guys. Oil obviously puts you already in the international trade and globalization bracket automatically. The moment you say internationally, we as Namibia, we have oil, you are there already. Now, Namibia is already there, diamond production. Namibia is already there, fish production. Not as well known, but we're there already, right? We're there. We're already there. Uranium production, not as widely known, but we're there. We're in the top 10 producers of uranium. I mean, Kanjengo noted towards his information that he has access we were at 4 and 5, the top 5 uranium producers. The gentleman I spoke to from one of the uranium prospecting companies also there said they themselves, that he also corroborated with Kanjengo's, you know, estimate that top 4, top 5 as a country. But the representative from the Nuclear Association of Namibia, or the Uranium Association, not nuclear, Uranium Association of Namibia, she said Namibia bounced up to number 2 in the world last year alone. That was the first time we got to number 2. Now, you see, to amplify that impact of export, the question is all about why don't we reverse engineer that success? Reverse engineer it in the sense of make it look like a lasting impact. Building a nuclear power plant. I know a nuclear power plant is not easy peasy lemon squeezy over. It never was. It never will be. I mean, currently right now, there are two discussions going on, whether to go new with nuclear fission or with nuclear fusion. Three countries are currently busy in southern France building a nuclear fission reactor. Now, fission, or is it the other way? But one, either fission or fusion, is a newer technology of the other. A newer technology of the other. The reactor is smaller. Sustainability, efficiency, waste management is also within, you know, I almost said reasonable, but what is reasonable with regards to nuclear energy? Nuclear energy is like you're technically working with an H bomb. You're working with an atom bomb, but you're using an atom bomb's technology to create electricity. And why not? You know, why not? But why not? Because we can actually sell to South Africa electricity. We can sell to Botswana electricity. We can sell to Mozambique on the other side of Southern Africa electricity. Angola, Zambia, Zimbabwe. You can name the list. We can supply electricity into DRC.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
The International University of Management, IUM, witete umbo no namba no kushive fakuja. Omanjirorongo otuataya Academic Year 2023. Ukapatruka enderera pa ife ulikole paparoe mo education. Ukarolongi fikora ile ukufe o health and social science. Osho maifano information and communication technology. O strategic management and leadership. Na ataimonika no tourism. Osho hospitality and event management. Business administration ikuterera. Environmental studies and postgraduate studies at Shota de Monica. Wherede, Otto Monica ko website www.ium.edu.na. Iro tarere po mbiro da IUM, dikuli po pepe. Mo venduka, mongu renguru, mongu diva, no mompae, Otto de Monica. Wherede to hangi kongo di ya venduka. 061 ongodi ne natunatu oma veri hamano inda komesho kufe tokoro liri monjira toiko mbona kuiwa inerao pamwe na IUM.
Speak your mind while respecting the.
Now we come back from that extended break, and where we head off into is that a successful economy has a workforce that is capable of operating industries at a level where it holds a competitive advantage over the economies of other countries. Now, you have to understand, guys, here in SADC, we are compared with other countries. If you guys remember, not so long ago, I think it was almost 6 or 7 years back, how various, you know, platforms, media platforms were, you know, applauding literacy rates in countries, comparing literacy rates with the country of one country with that of another. And for a long time, it had been Zimbabwe, especially in SADC, it had been Zimbabwe at the top. At the top. Now, obviously, a literacy rate indicator can be cascaded towards how many people can actually get into university. And from that statistic also, you can then look at the type of, you know, skills or the skill level of a population or a select population quantity within the broader population of a country. Now, that amplifies into competitive advantages. Now, competitive advantage is not just something that you can stick to a company or a product. You know, in terms of the brand conversation discussions I've had regularly, where I have covered competitive advantage, it's not just about that. It's also to a country. You see, when you've got four countries or five countries in the same vicinity of each other, or that where they actually border onto each other, And you realize that all of them can sell you the same thing. Either copper, either diamonds, either gold, either, what else is there? Either meat or fish. They actually are competing with each other. Unless it's something similar to what Namibia and Botswana sometimes do with regards to the diamonds. They get together or they group together and they sold as one. Or they sold in a batch, which is technically still translating towards being sold as one. So competitive advantage, guys, is key because it is reflected from the level of education in a labor market. Now, nations may try to incentivize training through tax breaks for companies. This is true. Tax breaks for companies. Providing facilities to train workers or a variety of other means designed to create a more skilled workforce. It's a way that government administrations would try to incentivize towards these investors. You see, if you're a Namibian company, you're a Namibian company. Now, if you don't have programs to reinvest into your workforce, the people that work for your company, the unfortunate thing is that you will be subject to be paying most of the taxes that you see. Or you don't have a corporate social responsibility initiative or program, you'll be subject to all the all the standard tax obligations or taxable obligations that your organization or company has to comply with. But if you come and you indicate, listen, I have a feeding scheme happening in one or other region where there's actually people that do not have access to affordable education, meaning that the closest school is just too far away. It's 20 kilometers away in one direction, not 20 kilometers accumulatively or, you know, as a whole, there and back. No. If you can indicate that, the tax authorities will say, okay, fine, we can allow you to have a tax break here, but then you will still have to pay here. Or the pay as you earn tax contribution that the company has to pay to the state or to the tax collecting agency. If that is sufficient, then they would say, okay, fine, because you employ a threshold of more than 500 people in Namibia, so you get a tax break somewhere on the corporate tax or the company tax. These things happen. This is the type of negotiation that takes place because a company has to provide proof of further giving value to the country. Further giving value. You see, a company or the total amount of companies is far less than the broader population of the country. If you balance the two numbers, because a company also, just like a normal, being a normal taxed employee or employer, a company has one tax certificate. They don't have 500 tax certificates because they've got 500 employees. No, the company has one tax certificate, one social security certificate, one City of Windhoek fitness certificate, one Ministry of Finance fitness certificate. That's all they have. That's all. But they have a CEO that earns $100,000 a month. He needs a tax certificate, right? He needs a social security number, right? There you go. And because he earns probably potentially $100,000 a month, he or she, they would be categorized in a specific tax bracket of people who pay tax based upon their earnings. Now, I'm not even yet on people, on expert labor or knowledge-based workers like engineers, doctors, surgeons. There's another one. Company owners, the owner of a company. These guys are sometimes classified as provisional taxpayers as well, meaning they have to pay a lump sum of money at the end of a year, at the end of a financial year. Meaning, if they just go buy their children ice cream, they have to keep the receipts of that ice cream. Even if it just costs $1, they have to keep it. Now, let's understand this, guys. Tax breaks are only there for companies. They're not there for you and me. They're not there for you and me. Not if we are, if you make $1 million in a month, at the end of the month, and you say, okay, I have a feeding program here. I have a soup kitchen over there. I built 6 schools, and in my extra time, I'm also a part-time nurse at a community clinic. No, that's impossible. You cannot split yourself into 6 entities. That's impossible. However, a company can do that, and a company can enjoy certain tax breaks. And tax breaks are very appealing for as investment options in countries. They are. I can go into that, but much of my examples will be based upon the EU, as well as also the current situation of Brexit and what came out from it in terms of the self-harm that the United Kingdom had caused itself with regards to investors. But still, let's get back to where we ended off with education and its impact, and it's caused positive impact, especially mostly on an economy. Now, what we've got to take in a factor in, which is an unlikelihood, is while it's unlikely that an economy will hold a competitive advantage in all industries, it's impossible. No one is the United States. No one. Well, currently, what we've now been seeing is that it seems that Russia and China have most probably been there or getting there in certain components, or they were already there. But not everyone can be strong in every industry. It's an impossibility. It's an impossibility. It doesn't exist. If they do, you would always find the best one to be either the United States in that regard, or sometimes even South Africa to an extent. I say to an extent. But not every country is evenly performing very well in every industry in its economy. Not every country. So, differences in training levels are significant factors that separate developed and developing countries. Differences in training levels are a significant factor, meaning it's a key indicator that separates developed and developing countries. Well, there are also other components that are key indicators. I can ramble off a whole bunch, which we unfortunately still need to build towards. We still need to build to it. Now, although other factors are certainly in play, for sure, such as geography and availability of resources, having a better trained workers creates spillovers throughout the entire economy and positive externalities. So, these spillovers, what do you get? What do you get? For example, let's play make-believe for one moment. Let's imagine things, you know, let's use our imagination. So let's, for example, said Namibia had an automobile manufacturing sector. That means engines were built, designed, and engineered here in the country. For example, you had a whole supply chain component, meaning some parts are specifically built in South Africa, because Namibia would have then signed one or other trade MOU between the Ministry of Trade and Industry for Namibia and South Africa's Department of Trade and Industry in South Africa to allow certain tax breaks for a car assembly company to import certain component goods from South Africa. So that Dwight here in Namibia, who's on the assembly line, let's say, for example, say at Cheetah Car Assembly Plant, No, let's not go for cheetah. Cheetah is too close to the cement plant. Let's say leopard assembly plant, a car assembly plant outside of Otjiwarongo. So what does leopard car assembly plant make? Leopard car assembly plant assembles, the big cat automobile range, which includes a sedan, a hatchback, a 4x4 station wagon, and then a pickup 4x4 for heavy duty jobs. So you've got four cars that are being made on that assembly line. So since the job is so big, got so intensive in terms of investment and money and resources and manpower and other needs that it needs, what are we looking at? MOUs and specific tax breaks. But that would also mean you would need a highly trained employment contingent. Now, for example, let's say Namibia's VTC or vocational training educational sector was thriving just because this automobile industry is supplementing or is actually benefiting from that the fishing industry has a high intake, the mining industry has a high intake, and that these vocational colleges are now running full steam producing these technical staff. On top of that, you've got NUST, UNOM, and IUM.
Paratus Mobile LTE. Everything you want, whenever you want it. Start uploading, downloading, liking, and sharing all your experiences with the world. Starting from 345 Namibian dollars per month, excluding VAT for postpaid. Get online with high-speed internet the way you want it. Visit paratus.africa/NA for more information.
So just where I ended off now was in our for us playing imagine, you know, playing make believe. So the vocational training centers are running full steam producing their own mechanical graduates. That's now in mechanical works and mechanics. And then and electricians. And then from the three big tertiary centers, almost high production volumes or high graduation volumes of engineers, especially in mechanical engineering and electrical engineering, and then also the guys from the IT schools being graduated as well, because then they get absorbed into those three industries I just mentioned. Because if you have a thriving car manufacturing industry and potentially even a food production industry on top of that, because they are similar to like the fish production industry, you know, canning and chemical mixtures and stuff like that, and testing and research, then that's where the value lies. Because firstly, you'll be able to produce high volumes of a product that can be exported and used locally. So there'll be consumption and demand. Second, on the top of that is those employees or those participants in that specific labor bracket will be earning exorbitantly. I can't use that word. Will be earning such high levels of income that if you ever had to look at Namibia's economy, you would be able to justify demand, supply, consumer sentiment, consumer resentment sometimes. Resentment, I don't know if it's the right word, but sometimes when consumers don't want to make use of various products or instruments in the market, for example, like credit facilities for credit cards, home loans, car loans, mortgages, stuff like that, you know, it will exponentially expand the consumer use. Because ultimately, if we had to look at Namibia has evolved or mutated into this, vastly consumerist economy. We are just consuming. Kanjengo has confirmed it. A whole host of other economists that we've had here on Eagle FM through the plethora of our programming or our programs have indicated to one or other form of a consumer situation, a consumerist situation or ecosystem in our country. And it's one of the callers here on the BEZ have also indicated we are falling into the trap when people say I'm a business person, they are actually just a run of the mill trader. They are just trading. They are reselling, or they're a reseller. They're just selling what someone sold to them. So they're just reselling it, or they're just importing it. So where's the value in that? Look, I'm not knocking. Please guys, I'm not knocking. It's one of the easiest ways to get into business, to being your own entrepreneur. I know it's one of the easiest ways, but it's really not indicative. It's not a clear indication of a thriving economic ecosystem in our country. At most, it looks copycat-ish, meaning we are copying each other's business models. And secondly, onto that is there is a lack of resilience. A lack of resilience. Now, the make-believe scenario was to indicate to you the value that gets generated. The value that gets generated. You see, guys, if you really want to see value, for any of us who've been to Cape Town, Cape Town has a lot of clothing factories in it, around it, outside it. Clothing factories. If you've ever been to the factory shops in Claremont, in Observatory, you mention it. Those factory shops are selling you prices that, if just to give you an example, the liter of milk that you buy in your shop has got a percentage extra onto the original price, or the cost price of what it cost the manufacturer to make it. And the manufacturer just added their markup onto it. Now, the factory shops that you would find in Cape Town give you the manufacturer's price. So it's an extension of the manufacturer in terms of allowing the greater public to buy directly from the manufacturer, because the manufacturer has a surplus in inventory that it produced. So it does not have to rely on an Edgar's, a Jet, a Sportsman's Warehouse, or whatever, you name it. They can, because of how much they produce, they realize there's excess or surplus. They can sell directly to the market without jeopardizing nor cannibalizing their own business model, or their existing business model, or their mainstream business model. They don't have to worry, because South Africa has 60 million people. Cape Town has 3 million inhabitants. Johannesburg, including Soweto, has probably 20 to 25 million people. And that's just working on population dynamics or population demographics. So understanding education level or education's impact, it's a way of also leveraging the value of education in your market, in your economy. All about leveraging it. Look, guys, I am actually someone that is very scared. I'm someone that always preaches that I'd like to stay in what is currently happening, the reality of the scenario. I'm also someone that practices a lot of skepticism, meaning I am skeptical of you trying to sell me bright lights, shining stars, and everything that's sparkly and that has unicorns in it, with a little bit of sparkling dust on it, with, you know, caramel flavored vanilla cakes. No, even though that's my favorite cake, but still, no, it's too good to be true. And I'm actually talking about the fourth industrial revolution discussion currently going on, as well as also the green hydrogen discussion. Because you critically have to look for where are the gaps. Where are the clear and obvious gaps? Now, the fourth industrial revolution task force indicated what is the biggest gap, as big as the Grand Canyon in the United States, in the southern state of Arizona, is education. Education. The green hydrogen component indicated towards that there might be somewhere a shortfall with regards to the expertise levels to supply the various facets or stages of the green hydrogen industry in our country. And this all once again points back to education. 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 You see, green hydrogen is a science field. It's in the sciences, which predominantly speaks to the STEM or STEAM fields. Fourth Industrial Revolution Task Force came and said that there was a misperception. It's almost as if we misunderstood the direction we want to take our education towards. That ultimately, automation and artificial intelligence is actually steered and geared by creativity. Not to put someone in a vocation and tell them, hello, follow this line. That's your destiny. That's what we decided you must walk on. Now, if the person wants to generate, clothing, they want to be a seamstress, or they want to be someone that works with textiles. Then what now? Is it a wasted opportunity? Is it a wastage of resources and time and effort? What now? What do we do? Because as humanity, we are prone to generating waste. I'm not saying that anyone that doesn't follow what is prescribed to them, is a waste of space. I'm not saying that, guys. Please do not misunderstand that notion. But what I'm saying is, we as humanity, we are prone for changing our minds, wasting our time and resources on certain projects, ultimately realizing that this project is actually what you should have pursued and followed. I know I'm becoming philosophical, sorry, but that's who we are by nature. That's what we are as humans. That's the kind of animal we are. You have to understand your behavior in order for you to understand the environment you are based in. You have to. And that's why I will always point back towards the recent changes that was done to our education system. The unfortunate thing is, we will have to readjust again. Firstly, to fall in line with the fourth industrial revolution ideal, the ideal position where we want to be in that segment of the next step of industrialization in the world. Thirdly, on top of that, is that we have to realign ourselves to be in line with the green hydrogen industry. Because the way it's going to look, it's going to be on an industrial scale. It's going to be big. It's going to be bold. And it might probably dwarf any of our other extractive industries. Because agriculture, which is actually the biggest extractive industry that employs currently the most people, is actually dependent upon climate or weather patterns or, good rainfall for it to work to be beneficial. Second on that is the mining industry is actually dependent upon market trends, market demands, and as well as also planning and forecasting or contracts that have actually been negotiated for advance. So by the time you get to where that contract ends, which is 2 years from now, there might be a negative dip in terms of that, of the mining industry's performance. There might be. And that's a trend you always have to anticipate. The same also for agriculture. The same also for fishing. It won't be long until the Ministry of Marine Resources and Fisheries, or Fisheries and Marine Resources, goes and declares, listen, the fish stocks must be given the opportunity to replenish themselves, to actually recover from the potentially excessive fishing activity or not. So no one may fish in this window for a whole calendar year or a year and a half. And then what? That whole industry takes a knock. Investments that went into there, factories that were built. So then what? The same also for livestock, which is once again going back into agriculture. Then what? But with green hydrogen, the whole project, the whole aim is to have it close to the water source, which is the whole coastline of Namibia. So it might dwarf even the oil discovery. Now, I'm just giving you the what-if scenario, the what-if analysis. You have to look at what-ifs, where things are going to go. Now, in order to facilitate the demand, the process, remember, the demand is also about a labor component. In order to supply it and sufficiently sustain it, you must have the labor that needs to go there. Now, not everyone can go and work there. That's also the thing. Second thing you've got to factor in, because we will need engineers in Windhoek. We will need engineers in Oshakati. We will need engineers in Otjiwarongo. We will need engineers in Katima. We will need engineers in Gobabis. Engineers in Kietmans. Engineers in Oranjemund. They can't go. Not all of them can go and work there. Not all of them. Now, also factor in, just before we hit the next ad break, is that differences in training levels are a significant factor, as mentioned, between developed and developing countries. developed and developing countries. For employers, the benefits. Employers want workers who are productive and require less management, which is true. But before we continue, let's quickly head into this next ad break.
So, jy het dit gedoen. Jy het jou laat besny.
Jep.
Dit was baie dapper. Was dit nie vrek seer nie?
Dit was net so effen seer, maar dis die moeite werd om myself teen seksueel oordraagbare infeksies te beskerm. En dis soveel makliker om skoon te hou.
Wel, as jy dit so stel, dan moet ek dit dalk ook laat doen.
Bra, dis die regte ding om te doen. Man Up, kry 'n besnyding. Om 'n gratis besnyding te bespreek of om meer uit te vind, stuur 'n WhatsApp boodskap na 081-309-2729 of besoek ons Facebookblad by VMMC Namibia.
Now, just where we ended off was that ideally, employers want workers who are productive and require less management. Employers must consider many factors when deciding whether or not to pay for employee training, such as, will the training program increase the productivity of a worker? Will the increase in productivity warrant the cost of paying for all or part of the training? If the employer pays for the training, will the employee leave the company for a competitor after the training program is complete? Will the newly trained worker be able to demand a higher wage? And will the worker also gain an increase in bargaining power or leverage for a higher wage? And lastly, if pay increases are warranted as a result of the training, will the increases in productivity and profits be enough to cover any pay rises as well as the overall cost of the training program? Now, that's based upon the education level. Coming through with some of the questions an employer has to ask themselves. Now, what this points towards mostly is these additional training programs that an employer might send you on. You all might have seen it. For those of us that are still lucky to have jobs, you know, post the pandemic even still. But you will all have seen one or other form of a workshop or a training session. That even being for the CEOs of the largest corporations in our country, even for the executives from those big corporations, all the way to even ministers, even parliamentarians themselves, MPs, you name it. Now, this is all to add more skills, more knowledge to you, to capacitate you a lot more, to give you, or actually for the organization that you represent, to benefit from that exposure that you went and obtained or that you went and had. For workers, just to add this up, workers increase their earning potential by developing and refining their capabilities and skills. The more they know about a particular job's function and particular industry, the more valuable they become to an employer. And lastly, employees may want to learn advanced techniques or new skills to vie for a higher wage. Now, this brings us up to the end of tonight's program, guys. I do hope that you enjoy the rest of your evening here in our company on your number one talk radio station of Eagle FM. And secondly, onto that is also you catch me over the weekend on your Sunday morning session with my Sunday morning take. I'll once again be expanding into some interesting stuff there. But still, always, 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 you can catch us here up and about on your number one talk radio station of Eagle FM. Good night.